What is up, basketball fans? Welcome to another live NBA outlet. I'm your host, Nick Faye. With me, as always, Corey Waldron. Corey, how are we doing?
Doing good. We're doing this once a week podcast. It feels weird to not be on the daily grind, but we're taking a little bit of a summer reprieve to juice up for the next season. But, you know, it's all good. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, it does feel weird. It feels like, okay, one recording a week and one recording.
It's almost like I'm out of rhythm. Like I'm missing like a certain step to my week when we only record once.
Yeah, especially during the playoffs and free agency, it was like every other day. So now it's like, okay, back to the juice. But today we're talking top three players on every NBA team, which is pretty interesting. You know, some of the top teams is pretty easy, but when you get to teams like the Hornets or the Wizards, it gets interesting. But before we get started, quick reminder, you can check us out, iTunes, Block Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. Also head to Designtree/Off the Glass. We dropped some new tees, some more coming. Be sure to check that out. Don't have one on today, but will for the next show. But, Corey, we'll start right from the top. Let's go. We'll go in alphabetical order. Atlanta Hawks, top three players on that squad.
For me, I had Trae Young, John Collins, and Kevin Huerter as my top three. Because I think all of these guys, we expect to take another leap forward this upcoming season. Herter's a guy a lot of people are really high on. Trae Young apparently gained like 12 to 16 pounds of muscle this offseason, which as you and me, we got to harp on this a lot, is when do those young guys, when they come into the league, finally put on, as you like to say, their second growth spurt? It's good to see Trae Young already putting on that weight now. And those are the core pieces of this Hawks team. So you would hope that these three would be their best players.
Yeah, and just to clarify for you guys and girls, we are basing this off of who's going to be the top three players when the season starts next year. And I got the same three, Corey. You know, Trae Young, John Collins, Kevin Huerter. You know, Huerter had some ups and downs last year, but he had some really efficient numbers and some really nice advanced statistics. They expect him to take the jump. And like you said, Trae Young's looking good. He obviously was a different player from the first half of the season to the second half of the season. And we know John Collins has just been dominant. It's about him kind of developing defensively, adding to that three-point shot, just picking up some of the smaller things. But Hawks were in agreeance. Next team, we got Boston Celtics. I think this is actually kind of an interesting one.
Yeah, I have Kemba as the best player. Yep. And then like the next three is kind of like my voice cracked. The next two spots are for me like between almost three, four players. Like, does Hayward get back to being Hayward? How much do you value Marcus Smart, who obviously in the defensive side of the ball is so valuable, but his offense is kind of sluggish. But my second and third best players for the Celtics this upcoming season would be Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. That order can flip-flop. I don't really have that in a set order for those two. But for the Celtics, those are going to be the most important guys, both likely to get bigger roles.
Yeah, I agree. I have the same ones. You know, I think Gordon Hayward could possibly pop into that top three, but he kind of has to prove it. And it's like if I was betting, I'm betting more so on Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum taking a jump to get better than I am at Gordon Hayward getting back to what we saw in Utah. And Marcus Smart's a great point too, because obviously he's a guy that has a big impact on the floor. But I think Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown's overall impact is just greater because they have a bigger impact on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
Now, next up, we got the Brooklyn Nets. Who you got for top three? And obviously, we're not including KD because he's hurt, but things are looking like he could be back by the end of the year. But this is opening day.
So opening day, I have it as Kyrie Irving, Caris LeVert, and Jared Allen.
Okay. Yeah, I see the case for Jared Allen. I would actually go with Spencer Dinwiddie as my third.
Okay.
I think, you know, obviously Kyrie, that's clear. Caris LeVert, that's clear. Best two-way player in the team. I think Spencer's impact is still really high. You know, his impact could go down next year because obviously we just mentioned the other two are guards as well. But Spencer just has a really good understanding of the game, and he's gotten better the last few years. I'd be really happy if Jared Allen was that top third player because that means he's taken that full-on jump. And who knows, DeAndre Jordan could be the guy that kind of pushes him to that next level, gives him some mentorship. You know, DeAndre actually had a little bit of an impact with Mitchell Robinson with the Knicks last year, even though he was there for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think Spencer Dinwiddie has a very important role. I mean, coming off the bench, he's going to be the sixth man again for them. He was crucial for them stretches last season coming off the bench when the starting lineup got kind of stagnant. So, I mean, I think Dinwiddie's a very fair pick. And I see Jared Allen. You know, we saw him dominate a couple Summer League games. Obviously, it's Summer League, take it all with a grain of salt. But if he can be that aggressive offensively while still remaining to be the rim protector he's shown to be this past season, then, I mean, the future looks bright for that young Afro center.
Yeah, and I think the funny thing is, do is like, you know, even if it's not Dinwiddie, like Jared Allen's going to have a great season because of these three guys we just talked about, because he's going to be the one benefiting from running pick and roll with Kyrie Irving, Caris LeVert, and Spencer Dinwiddie. So yeah, he easily could pop in there, and it could be a benefit of just playing with other good players. I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued with Jared Allen. Obviously, it's a big year for him, and then DeAndre is kind of a safety net. But on to the Charlotte Hornets, who maybe is the toughest team to pick out the top three players on.
Yeah, so I had Cody Zeller.
Yeah.
Bridges, because I think Bridges at least has a ton of potential. And then this is just like weird, but like Rozier. Like I put Rozier in, but I guess Batum would probably be the guy you'd want to realistically think is the top three player with the contract he gets. But I think it's those three for me.
Yeah, I think, you know, I wanted to put Batum as well, but then I was like, he's just was so bad last year, and he's not going to get better. Where Rozier, there is still some hope where maybe he get better. Another guy I would maybe consider who played well for them at the end of last season would be like Dwayne Bacon. He had a nice finish for them, but it's rough. It's rough out there. So I mean, like, when Zeller is probably your most established player, like, no disrespect to him, he's a good starting center. It's not going to be a great season.
It's funny when, like, I looked at the roster and I literally thought, wow, their best player is Cody Zeller.
Yeah.
it was like, wow, that's a problem. That's problematic if you're the Hornets.
It's just not great. And I mean, like, you know, Marvin Williams who probably could even be up for that top three spot as well. Like the difference in talent between a lot of guys on the team is just not that high. So the top three players could be substantially different by all-star break for this team. Another young squad, the Chicago Bulls.
For the Bulls, I had LaVine, Markkanen, and maybe I think Porter Jr., like I probably should have put in, but I put Thaddeus Young. So I think Young's going to have he'll have a big impact on the court, but for that locker room in general, he's going to be extremely important. Obviously, we know they had some issues last year, but he's a very good defender, was arguably one of the best defenders on the Pacers last year, a very good rebounder, can hit the three a little bit, not consistently. You don't want to rely on it, but he can't hit that shot, decent around the rim, does the dirty work. Thaddeus Young, I think, is going to be a great piece for that young Bulls team, even though they do have a lot of forwards.
Yeah, I mean, Thad Young is a great choice. I went with Otto Porter. I think Porter played really well last year when he got traded to Chicago. And he also was a little bit more active in pick and roll, which I think is a part of his game where he can kind of improve. You know, he wasn't getting the touches in Washington, what was going on with John Wall and Bradley Beal. So I like Markkanen, I like LaVine, and I like Porter. And I think Thad Young's a solid choice. He'd probably be my fourth. But I'm looking at Porter making a jump because he's really gotten better every single year.
Yeah.
Next up, we got the Cleveland Cavaliers, another tough one.
I had Kevin Love as my best guy in this team. And then Colin Sexton, Tristan Thompson. But it was kind of tough with the third one. I feel like Tristan's name is why he gets the nod. He's probably the most established player they have. And I guess you could have put like an arguable mention, maybe that's Jordan Clarkson or Larry Nance, but those guys kind of plateaued last year or so.
Yeah, I was thinking Jetty as well as a possibility on there. Yeah, obviously, Kevin Love is their best player. Colin Sexton had a better second half than first half last year. And I think Tristan Thompson, the thing that like made the argument for me is like, out of these guys, who has a role on the NBA team, NBA championship team? And Thompson, like, obviously, he might not be a starting center anymore, but he's a great backup center to bring in that's just going to grab a ton of rebounds for you.
Yeah, I mean, and he's got a title. I mean, he was a part of that Cleveland team for a reason.
All right, Dallas Mavericks.
Different page for the Mavericks. I have, and it not necessarily in this order, Porzingis, Doncic, Hardaway Jr.
Yeah, I think that's a fair. I mean, like, obviously, Luka and KP are the locks, yeah. And then the third spot, I was like debating in my head, am I gonna go with Tim Hardaway Jr. or Dwight Powell? Like, I don't think Tim Hardaway Jr. is amazing because his efficiency is really bad, where Powell is kind of like, I know what I'm kind of getting. So I think it's just like their third best player is like really going to be intrigued for the whole season. I mean, Maxi Kleber played a really good role for them last year. I mean, Seth Curry's coming over. DeLon Wright, we saw, had really good moments over the last couple of years with Toronto and then with Memphis last year. So it's like their third best player is uncertain at this point, but I think the top two is really easy for them.
Yeah, the top two, I think it's a lock between their European star power. And I mean, Powell's a good choice. I mean, him coming off the bench or him being a starter, depending on how they decide to put Porzingis out there, that's a guy who does all the dirty work, kind of like Mitch with Thaddeus Young, does a little bit of everything. For Hardaway Jr., I think if this team wants to be a playoff contender, Hardaway Jr. has got to be like a Ray Allen type player for them. Just his only job is going to be to shoot threes alongside Porzingis and Doncic. And if they get that, they'll be good. But like you mentioned, the biggest issue for Hardaway Jr. is there's been no consistent efficiency from shooting at all from the field.
Exactly. And that, like you said, they need him to be a shooter. They just need him to be that pure scorer on the wing. This is a really good opportunity for him because he really doesn't have to do a ton of other things other than obviously play defense, because you got Luka running the show. KP is going to draw a ton of attention. They've obviously already played together. So I think between Hardaway and Powell, it's going to be interesting. It's like the one guy you already know what you're getting. The other guy is just kind of like, can he get to that level we've hoped for the last couple of years? Denver Nuggets.
The Nuggets to me were easy. I have Jokic, Murray, and Gary Harris as my three. Gary Harris had a somewhat turbulent year last year. I know he wasn't as good as we kind of predicted going into the year, had some injuries, but he's a 3-and-D guy. I think Murray showed flashes. His biggest thing is, can he be more consistent than Jokic? I mean, that boy's a bad man already as it is, so I don't think there's any way he moves.
Yeah, same thing over here. I think, Gary Harris dealt with a lot of injuries last year. Hopefully he can stay healthy. I mean, the only other guy that really can maybe get mentioned would be like Paul Millsap, but he's getting up there in age, and you kind of saw that at the end of last season. So I think Gary Harris, Murray, and Jokic is the obvious choice here.
Yeah.
Next up, we got Detroit Pistons.
Yeah, the Pistons are weird, and a fan base is going to be happy I have this. So I have Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond, and Derrick Rose as my three best players. I don't think there's much of a difference between Reggie Jackson and Derrick Rose. I think one's – because of Reggie Jackson's recent health issues, the fact that he's got the knee arthritis that seems to be popping up sporadically, you never know which kind of Reggie Jackson you're going to get. Was really good the second half of last year, definitely played better. But Derrick Rose played pretty good too last year. Neither one of them are great defenders. So for me, it's kind of a wash, and I'll just take Rose because he was more healthy last year than Reggie Jackson.
Yeah, I think this is a tough one. You know, obviously we said Blake and Andre is the easy lock for the top two. Now I'm looking at Derrick Rose. I'm looking at Reggie Jackson. I think like a dark horse would be like Luke Kennard.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But like, I haven't seen enough where I think he can make a big enough impact throughout a season. I don't know if he's a 20 minute per game player yet, or if he's a 25 to 30 minute, you know, a consistent like Danny Green like player. Like, I'm not sure what his ceiling is yet.
Yeah, I think the real concern, you know, obviously he was good last year and he was big for them. Like, I mean, he was one of the only pieces of offense they had other than Blake. It's just like defensively, can he take to the next level? I think I'm just going to go with Reggie Jackson here just because, like, he is kind of good sometimes. And then other times he's really bad. And, like, Derrick Rose's game I just don't really love. Obviously, he was good last season, but I'm not sure if that's going to carry over to a winning team. Obviously, the Timberwolves weren't great at all.
Derrick Rose better than Mike Conley, though, apparently, according to Rose stains. So,
Golden State Warriors.
This wasn't hard for me. I mean, Clay would obviously be in there if he was healthy, but it's Curry, Draymond, and D'Lo as of right now. And I would have it in that order, actually. I would have it be Curry, Draymond, and D'Lo. So I think Draymond, even though the offense at times is such a negative without the jump shot, the guy does a tremendous playmaking job. Tremendous rebounder. He's going to be needed a lot more this year within the offense. And then D'Lo, as we know, tremendous scorer, can really light it up shooting-wise, struggles to get to the line, and still has the defensive issues to his game. But that would be my three.
Yeah, same thing here. I don't think you could really argue that. And, I mean, like, maybe there's some type of argument for Draymond versus D'Lo, but at this point I think Draymond's obviously more established in winning situations. Up next, we got the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, this to me was – it depends on who you value the most. Obviously, I think Harden and Westbrook are the two guys we're going to lock in. And originally for the third best guy, I had P.J. Tucker penciled in. But then, like, I don't know if – it depends on what you value more. Do you value the defense of P.J. Tucker and the grittiness? Do you value the rebounding and lob ability of Clint Capela? Or do you value the three-point shooting of Eric Gordon? So for me, I'm going to go with P.J. Tucker – as my third best guy. I just think he's more important. Small ball. He can't really get played off the court like Clint Capela can. Decent corner three-pointer shooter. That was a weird way to say that. And then, you know, I just like P.J. Tucker's overall body of work compared to Gordon, who can get kind of inconsistent at times. And then Clint Capela, as we saw, like, I think he's a solid, you know, 20-10 guy in the right system, but then come playoff time, what's his real ceiling in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think obviously, you know, we got Harden, Westbrook. I think it gets tough. What I did is kind of remove PJ Tucker. If I put him on like a lesser team, would he be as effective? Mm. I'm not as sure because like I just, like you said, he's corner three-point shooting. He's not really doing much on offense. He's more of a dirty work guy. Like which guy would I be closer to including in the top 50 would probably lean towards Capella or Gordon. And I just went with Capella here just because of what he does in the regular season. You know, obviously, like you said, he could put up close to 20-10. Obviously, he's gotten better. He does rely on his guards a lot, but I think he's due for a big year because he's going to be catching lobs from Harden and Westbrook. Obviously, he did have CP3, but Westbrook will get a little bit more action in transition. Then if I was going with a fourth, I'd probably go with Gordon just because I think Gordon has more of a pop on a game where, like, PJ Tucker, you know what you're consistently getting, but I don't know if he's going to change, like, the course of a game because but I think they're all very close, which is usually a good sign for a team if you have three guys that could be your third best player.
Yeah. I mean, that are, it could be really problematic as opposed depending on where you're looking it from.
Now up next, your squad, Indiana Pacers. I thought this one was pretty easy.
Yeah. With that Oladipo, I thought it was easy. I have a Turner, Brogdon, Sabonis.
Yeah.
As my three.
Agreed. Same thing here. No debate about it. Who would you take out if Oladipo was healthy?
I probably drop Sabonis because Brogdon, Turner, Oladipo can all play both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
Now, granted, Turner's offense is a little bit more questionable, and maybe even Brogdon's in a bigger role. But Sabonis' big issue has been his defensive ability to get back. Lateral quickness has been kind of an issue for him. I think the other three are just more complete players.
Now, moving on to the Los Angeles Clippers, who are you rolling with?
Kawhi, Paul George, and Lou Will, sixth man. The Lou Will, Patrick Beverley debate I had in my head was really real. And even the Montrezl Harrell debate, because this team has two sixth man of the year candidates on their team.
I went with Montrezl Harrell. I think he's a little bit younger. Obviously we're kind of predicting into next season. He was right behind Lou Will in the sixth man of the year. He can give you that scoring down low, and he's also a really good rebounder. And he's not as negative defensively as a Lou Will is. So I think Montrezl Harrell is more so that guy. And I think his role kind of makes more sense to stay the same, where Lou Wills might drop back a little bit now that you have Paul George and Kawhi.
I could see that. And also, you're going to need the rebounding of Montrezl Harrell for sure this upcoming year.
And it's like a perfect kind of small ball guy they can play out there. Obviously, he's not a big center. He can play sometime at the power forward. Mm-hmm. But I'm intrigued. I like Montrezl Harrell and what he's kind of done for that squad. Over to the other LA squad, the Lakers. This is actually kind of hard for the third.
I'm just going with somehow Kyle Kuzma got 86 and 2K for a ranking.
Did he really?
Yes, he had 86.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know what they saw that we didn't see, but he's an 86. And guess who else is an 86? Jason Tatum. I'm not sure we're ranking guys correctly. But I have LeBron, I have Anthony Davis, and I have Kuzma as the third best guy. I think you can make an argument if Cousins is healthy that he's the third best guy without question. But I just don't know, because I saw pictures of him looking really thin. Then I saw a video of him in the pickup game and looked like he put on all the weight again. It was big. I don't know when that was, where that was. But there's concerns about DeMarcus Cousins, how he looks after these injuries. So I think Kuzma was probably the more sure thing as the third best player. But even still, this is a problematic third best player team scenario for this team.
Yeah, I almost feel like Kuzma will have the third best year out of like a player on that team because of Cousins not necessarily being an ideal center to play with, you know, AD or LeBron James, just because we don't know where his health's at. We don't know where his defense is at. I think there's actually a low-key argument for Danny Green here. Like I would consider Danny Green over Kuzma just because two-way ability, smarter player. Obviously Kuz has that upside, but it's like, is Kuzma going to play defense? Is he going to be able to knock down a three? And that's exactly what you want playing next to LeBron or AD.
I think that's a good point. I didn't really take into account Danny Green like that.
And, like, we know what we're getting. Like, Danny Green's been, like, the same guy for a while now, so it's not, like,
anything coming off crazy. I mean, even though he struggled in the playoffs, coming off a career year from the three-point line with the Raptors.
Yeah, I mean, I would not be surprised if he was the third best player. The Grizzlies.
This was a tougher team, but I have Jaren Jackson, Ja Morant, and then just out of respect, Andre Iguodala.
I went with Jonas Valanciunas. I actually forgot they had Andre Iguodala actually for a quick second.
Okay. Obviously,
yeah, I'm not even sure if he's going to end up playing there. I mean, they're trying to trade him. I don't know if it's going to happen. Jaren Jackson's clear-cut best player in that team. I think Jaren Jackson's going to have a huge year. You know, we're kind of biting on the Morant hype, but it looks like he's just the only guy in that team that can really create. So, I mean, Iguodala is a good choice. I kind of, like I said, I kind of forgot about him. I'm going to go with Valanciunas because he's going to play bigger minutes, and he actually put up some, like, monster numbers for them last year when he got traded.
You know, he played good for them. He was hitting threes for them. He got traded over there. So, yeah, I think Valanciunas is a solid player, especially when he's got a point guard like Morant, who likes to put pressure on the defense, get to near the rim. Valanciunas is very good around the rim. It could benefit him greatly.
Yeah, and he's going to probably play more minutes than Iguodala, because even if Iguodala is healthy, he's probably not trying to play a ton of minutes for the Grizzlies, if any.
Right. Yeah.
Let's see. Miami Heat.
Jimmy Butler, Justice Winslow, and Bam Adebayo. Adebayo.
Yep, same thing over here. I don't think there's much debate on that team.
I think the only question would be if maybe Dragic gets healthy, that he can be a bigger impactful player than Bam. But I think Bam has shown enough strides last year. They were confident enough to get rid of Whiteside for a reason.
Yeah, and I think Bam's just like two-way ability, and just like he has a really high ceiling that I don't think he's come close to touching yet.
Yeah.
Milwaukee Bucks.
Anticlimactic. Giannis Antetokounmpo, Chris Middleton. You make the argument for Brooke Lopez, but I went with Eric Bledsoe at the end of the day.
Yeah, I did too. I wanted to put Brooke, but I was just like Bledsoe's two-way ability.
Yeah.
He had a shitty postseason, but Brooke also had a really good year, and he was just splashing threes. So.
And I've talked to some Buck fans about Bledsoe and like the Brogdon scenario, and a lot of Buck fans aren't happy, like aren't mad that they kept Bledsoe over Brogdon. Like a lot of people like Bledsoe because of how good he is on defense, and a lot of fans think that people take for granted how good he is defensively. So, the offense may be worrisome, but if you like the defense as much as Milwaukee Buck fan, I guess you're not as mad about it.
I think that's just like lying to yourself, but that's just me because it's like
smoke screen.
Yeah. Like let's say if Bledsoe's a better defender than Brogdon, he's slightly better. And offensively Brogdon's at another level offensively, cause he just has more to his skill set where Bledsoe has to drive inside. And I mean he had a really good defensive year last year, but I have a hard time getting that Terry Rozier versus Eric Bledsoe first round matchup out of my brain.
that's a good example.
Minnesota Timberwolves.
This one was another tough one because it's like Towns for sure, and then it's like shit. Like, who do we trusting? And I put Okogie in because I think he showed enough defensively last year that as long as he takes some steps forward offensively, that he'll be a top three player for them. And then like Teague, no, I put Wiggins, but like it's kind of problematic. But it's Wiggins right now.
I went with, obviously, Karl Anthony Towns, Josh Okogie, and Robert Covington.
Okay.
Yeah.
It probably is. Honestly, Wiggins, you're probably not. I completely forgot about Covington.
Yeah, I think Covington's, like, he's really good, you know, defender off ball. Like, he just makes a lot of plays. Like, he's a defensive playmaker. Wiggins, like, I kind of hope that Wiggins gets in there, but, like, I don't know if he is. We've seen some positive-looking, you know, summer pickup games, but it doesn't necessarily translate to being a – Yeah, NBA player.
Ben Simmons hitting turnaround shots and shit. So at this rate, everybody's going to be a superstar come regular season.
I feel
season.
Like you can take something away from Ben Simmons shooting. Like
you definitely can. There's confidence. Like I've never seen him take a turnaround three-pointer. Like he's definitely shooting stuff with the thought of like, I don't care. I'm just going to shoot this. Which as long as he's putting pressure on a defense in the regular season that he can at least, you know, attempt shots, then that's all he needs to do.
I mean, like, you got to be really feeling yourself to shoot a turnaround three like that. Like, even if it's just pickup, like, I'm not even shooting that shot in horse, really. Like,
I know.
That's a tough shot. Like, whatever works for you, Ben. Like, maybe that's what your new go-to move is. Next up, though, New Orleans Pelicans.
The first two for me I thought were easy, but this also depends on who you're valuing more. Now it feels silly, but I have Drew Holiday, Derek Favors, and then I have like a toss up between Ingram and Zion.
I initially obviously Drew's the lock, but then like after that it gets really complicated because you mentioned Favors, you got Zion, you got Ingram, and then you also have Lonzo Ball,
who I think and you
Could be in and a really also good
JJ Redick, right? I mean, JJ Redick should be at least thought about because of the 3-point shooting numbers he's had over the past couple of years. You have to think that his role for this team could be no different than Philly's role.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say. It's like a tough one. And I think this is another situation where it's positive that they have like multiple good players across the board. I think the only one I'm really willing to lock in is probably Drew. And then I feel like I just have to lock in Zion. So then for me, it's kind of between Favors and Lonzo Ball. And Favors has been better in the past, but could this be the year that Lonzo takes that step to being closer to the point guard that people envision being drafted?
So no chance of Ingram. You have Ingram last between those three? You know, between Favors, Lonzo, and Ingram, you have Ingram last?
I think so. I think, I mean, there's plenty of hope for him, but like there's also the injury concern with him. And then also like he had that really good stretch after All-Star break, which he could easily be a top three player. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think it's closed off. But he's also like somewhat inconsistent, and he seems at times can be a little bit like just in a tunnel. Like he just, you know, is just in that zone. But I wouldn't be surprised if it was Drew, Lonzo, and Ingram, or if it was, you know, any type of combination of the guys we just mentioned. The only guy I feel confident about out of those three is Drew Holiday.
Yeah, same. I think Drew is the for sure lock. And then, I mean, Ingram, Zion, and Lonzo, all three of those guys I kind of have lumped together because I don't know what either one looks like. Because I don't know what Zion truly looks like yet. And obviously, I've been a little bit more down on Zion than a lot of people. And then Ingram, like you said, the injury history is concerning. The lack of offense or lack of a jump shot for most of his career is a concern. And that's the same issue with Lonzo. Can he stay healthy and can he produce an offensive jump shot?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, there's just like a lot of variables of like who starts, who's getting minutes and stuff. Too.
Right.
So, and there's a lot of good young talent on that team. Next up, though, I believe we have the New York Knicks.
The Knicks, it was funny going through this because, like, I have their best player is Mitchell Robinson. I think their best player might be Mitch. So I have Mitchell Robinson, Dennis Smith Jr., and Kevin Knox with a honorable mention to R.J. Barrett. I do like Barrett. I just don't know what he looks like this first season. I kind of think, like, Dennis Smith Jr. has looked pretty good in some of these pickup games. He might actually take a step forward this year. I do like Kevin Knox's body. That sounded weird. But, he's a tall guy who's put on more muscle this offseason. So I feel more confident about Kevin Knox being, like, a small ball four. And then I like Mitchell Robinson. I mean, that guy's been solid for them so far. So I like those three with R.J. Barrett. Easily possibly a top three guy, but probably just outside knocking.
I think I would have R.J. Barrett over Knox. I think R.J. just – mentally seems more prepared for the NBA, and that's no disrespect to Knox. I just think he's extremely raw. I went a completely different route. I have Mitchell Robinson still. I have Julius Randle, and then also Marcus Morris. I think you forgot about Randle. Like
I did. It's funny. I actually, when I was thinking about all the signs, I was like Ellington, no. I was like Todd Gibson, no. Elfrid Payton, no. I didn't even get to Julius Randle in my mind.
Yeah, I think and then like Marcus Morris I thought was really good, and he's going to shoot a lot this year because their team just isn't great.
Yeah.
By the end of the season, like some of the young guys might jump into here, but I think right now I would go with Morris, Robinson, Randle. Not in that order, but.
Yeah.
Thunder.
As of right now, Chris Paul, Steven Adams, Dennis Schroeder would be my three.
So.
With Terrence Ferguson on the outside knocking in, but I need to see more from him offensively if I'm going to bump him.
So I went – I mean, I have Chris Paul, obviously. I think Steven Adams. Then my third spot is between Gallinari and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So, Gallo had a really good year. If he can stay healthy
again. Gallo did have a good year. The reason I'm not as high on Shai is because I just don't know, like, does he play alongside Chris Paul? Like, I just don't know how that dynamic works.
He can play alongside Chris Paul. Like he, you know, obviously played a good amount of minutes last year with Lou Will. So I don't think it'll be an issue for him just about kind of taking that next step in his game. I think we both agree that Chris Paul and Adams are probably the best.
Yeah.
And then like Gallinari, if he's healthy, I think he's clearly the third best. But Shai Gilgeous-Alexander could also take a jump because he is a young guy.
Yeah.
So it's the second year in the league. So that's an it's more intriguing than you think in OKC.
If they stay in pack, certainly.
Yeah. Orlando Magic.
I have Aaron Gordon, Nikola Vucevic, and then Jonathan Isaac as my three. I didn't really have an order for these three because I don't know. I mean, I feel like Gordon and Isaac are both like on the cusp of having possibly breakout seasons, whereas Vucevic might be as good as he gets at this point in time. But those for me would be my top three. And I guess you could give a dark horse shout out to Markelle Fultz if he ever decides to play, or if he ever is able to play. Not that it's on him. I'm sure he would love to play.
Yeah, I got the same ones. You know, I think Vucevic starting on opening night will be the best guy. Then Gordon second, and Isaac will take probably the biggest leap out of all three next year.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, the Philadelphia 76ers.
Joel Embiid, Al Horford are my locks from one and two. And then third was kind of like tough because I feel like there's parts of Tobias Harris, Ben Simmons, and Josh Richardson that I all like, but I went with Ben Simmons. So I think there's still the most upside for the fact the guy can average a triple-double and he's a jump shot away from being an extremely tough player to stop in this league.
Yeah, it was easy for me. I went with Embiid, Simmons, and Horford. I think like Simmons, just like the jump shot hype is like a little bit overrated because like we've talked about, he's still an extremely good playmaker, still a really good rebounder, and he's still a good defender. And in transition, he's one of the best. So I think It's just if he can develop a somewhat solid jump shot, he'll be good. And then obviously we know Embiid, we know what Horford does.
He's a 6'10 Rondo. That's what Ben Simmons is currently. And then, hey, Rondo developed a three-point shot later in his career.
And he's more athletic than Rondo ever was too. So it's just like he's a – like the one thing that people undersell about Ben Simmons is that he's like a physical specimen, that he's like 6'10 and extremely athletic, like a guard at that size. Next up, Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, Phoenix Suns are ugly. But Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, and then Ricky Rubio are my three. I think Rubio's going to have a huge impact for that team offensively, just to kind of help a guy like DeAndre Ayton get more involved. Just having Devin Booker once again switching roles. Had a brief conversation on Twitter with the Suns guy who said like that's been one of his issues with the Suns is you had Booker as primarily just a scorer, then they had him as like a point scorer, and now he's going back into the scorer role again. So I think Rubio for me would be the third best of those three.
Yeah, I went with Booker, Ayton, and Oubre.
Oubre's fair. I mean, he's been really good with the Wizards. Crazy athletic, can hit the three, good defender. Can he take the jump?
Yeah, and he finished the season really strong with them last year. Like, Rubio, though, is the guy that was right on the cusp. Like, I would consider swapping out Oubre or Ayton for Rubio because, obviously, he's established. But there's still, like, the deficiencies of Rubio's game. But
I don't even hate Mikal Bridges as, like, a dark horse in case, like, he takes a step forward. I liked moments of him, too, in Phoenix.
Yeah, he was really solid. Like, he was not bad at all. So, next up, we got Portland Trailblazers.
Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum. The third piece was kind of hard for this team because, like, if Nurkic is healthy, I think it's easily Nurkic. But then, like, now it's Whiteside, Rodney Hood, Mario Hezonja, Kent Bazemore. I put in Kent Bazemore because Kent Bazemore can give you a little bit of everything, some rebounding, some playmaking, some scoring. But honestly, I don't think there is, like, a right or wrong answer for Portland because I think all these guys are kind of clumped in together.
I went with Zach Collins.
He showed promise in the playoffs, especially. I mean, he was finally becoming a guy you could rely on a little bit.
Yeah, he took a little jump last year. I think he's going to take another jump this year. If not, I think Kent Bazemore is a pretty solid choice. I think there's also an argument for Hassan Whiteside. As much as, like, people hate on him, he does do some things good on the floor. But I think I'm going to go with Zach Collins. Next up, we got Sacramento Kings.
For the Kings, I had Fox, Heald, and Bagley as my third. All the young guns taking a step forward. I wanted to give like an honorable mention to Harry Giles. I think he could have a big impact. And I think, you know, any of the new additions in Dwayne Dedmon or Harrison Barnes could arguably be the top three player. But I think, again, if you're the Kings and you're moving towards this rebuild, these three young guys you hope who have been your prime cornerstone pieces are your best three players.
Yeah, I went with obviously Fox and Heald. I went with Bogdanovich as a third. Like, Bagley, though, is an easy choice because he finished the season strong. And thinking about it, I probably would roll with Bagley because I think he'll take a bigger jump and get a bigger role where Bogdanovich kind of less than thought about, and he might end up being traded or something like that. San Antonio Spurs.
I had Aldridge, Deontay, DeJounte
Murray, you got it.
DeJounte Murray, thank you. And DeMar DeRozan is my three. I think Murray gets back in there. There was so much hype around Murray before last season. Everyone was really excited to see him, his defensive ability. And obviously we were not robbed. We were robbed of that. You know, he got hurt, and unfortunately. But this year I expect him to be right back in this top three.
Yeah, Spurs fans are super hyped about him. I actually made a $20 bet with a Spurs fan. he thinks DeJounte Murray is going to have a better season than Pascal Siakam. So that's a free $20. But
that's heavy. That's a deep prediction, especially with Kawhi gone. Siakam's going to have free reign of that offense.
Yeah, and the fact is, like, as good as Murray's going to probably be this year, he's still going to have an adjusting period for not playing basketball for a whole season.
Yeah.
So I feel good about making that free money. But Toronto Raptors, talking about Kawhi.
Pascal Siakam, Kyle Lowry, Marc Gasol are my three. I think if Gasol takes a big enough step backwards possibly, then Ibaka and Fred VanVleet are right in there. With maybe even a dark cover to OG and Anunoby, depending on what he looks like. Obviously, his an appendix surgery before the playoffs. Not a major injury at all, just couldn't get back on the court in time for the playoffs.
And I was talking to Nick yesterday. Nick last week, and we were doing a Brooklyn Buzz comparing the Nets to the Raptors, shameless plug, but you can find that on iTunes. we were discussing top five guys, and we were also talking OG. He actually was healthy by the time the playoff, like the Eastern Conference Finals. They just didn't want to mess up the rotation. So he could be a guy that can kind of get into it, but I agree. I think it'll be Siakam, Lowry, and Gasol. And next up, we got the Utah Jazz. This is pretty easy.
Yeah, it's Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, and their new addition, Mike Conley.
Washington Wizards.
You go first because I have Bradley Beal, and I don't want to give really any. I mean, for me, I have Bradley Beal, Thomas Bryant, and then I honestly don't know who I would give the third nod to. I really don't.
I got Bradley Beal, Thomas Bryant, and then I went with Ish Smith.
That's how bad it is.
I don't know what's like worse, being the Hornets or the Wizards. I think if you're the Wizards, at least you have Bradley Beal, so that sounds kind of good. And Thomas Bryant's kind of good. So it's like, but Ish Smith is probably your third best player. Like,
yeah, no, it's not good. Like, you got rid of everybody.
Maybe Isaiah Thomas like gets back to being like 70% of what he was in Boston. Maybe like Davis Bertans is like really good in a bigger role, but like I don't know.
If they're relevant, you're hoping Isaiah Thomas is you're hoping Isaiah Thomas is your third best player if you want to be relevant, because you're hoping he's back to being Boston Celtics Isaiah Thomas, which that just doesn't seem real.
It seems like that ship has sailed. I mean, He couldn't get minutes in Denver. Mike Malone obviously likes him. It's just like this is his – I don't want to say it's his last opportunity in the NBA, but this is his last opportunity of having a big role in the NBA.
I think it's his last role. I mean, if you're looking at certain guys in the league, Carmelo Anthony, for example, when you reach a certain point in your career, even though Carmelo had a lot more of an illustrious career than Isaiah Thomas, once you take a step back in your athletic ability and just your overall body of work, it's harder to land a job. Isaiah Thomas, being one of the smaller guards in the league, smaller guards generally don't fare well into their middle 30s. He's going to be 32, 33, coming off a hip injury, which has played him for basically 3 years now. I would say this is his last chance, personally.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks. It's kind of what happens. Hip injuries are really bad.
Yeah.
It's probably like one of the more underrated injuries, because your hip is just so important for like not only playing basketball, but exercising and trying to get to a high level of playing basketball.
Especially when you hurt it and then you play through it for a series like he did.
Yeah, obviously in hindsight, he wished, you know, that wasn't the case. Yeah.
He struck up.
What top three players in the NBA while we're here?
But Giannis Antetokounmpo, it's Kawhi Leonard, and I have a top 50 list made, and I don't remember who else I have in there. Durant's not healthy, so he wouldn't be in there. I think I have LeBron in there. I think I have LeBron as in my top three still. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what I would go with. I would probably swap the order around a little bit. I think currently Kawhi is probably the
best. Yeah, no. Kawhi is definitely the best player. If you win Finals MVP coming out of a season into the next season, you deserve to be the best player, especially with the run he had.
Unless you're Andre Iguodala.
yeah.
I think Kawhi, and then I think going to next year, I probably still have LeBron at number two, and then I probably have Giannis at number three. It'd be really interesting if Kevin Durant was healthy. Because obviously the whole landscape of last year is completely different, because the Warriors win the NBA Finals. Maybe he wins Finals MVP. Maybe we view him as the best player in the NBA. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's a fair argument to make for sure. So you asked me the top three. So I'll give you a different question. Who are the top – that's more confusing.
While you think of that, I just thought I saw a really interesting theory I shared in the OTG group chat about Achilles injuries.
And
people who injure their left Achilles have a really hard time coming back and being healthy because it's so net. This is a Nets Daily poster, netsdaily.com. I don't know the person. You can go on my timeline and find the tweet if you want to give that person credit. But if you play basketball, you know, you shoot layups with your right hand, you're leaping off your left leg. So people who have left leg injuries, Achilles wise, usually have a really hard time coming back. People who have right Achilles injuries don't necessarily have the harder time coming back and can sometimes come back even better.
I thought that was interesting reading that.
It makes sense
because it is the foot that you're pushing off of. It is your explosive foot. It's the one that you're making all your quick moves off of. Your right foot is more of a guide foot. If you're Kevin Durant, you hurt your right Achilles. Well, your right Achilles doesn't affect your explosiveness. Whereas Kobe and all these other guys, they all suffered an Achilles injury to their explosive lead foot, which I thought was interesting. I mean, if you're a Nets fan, you're reading this theory, you got to be pretty happy, right, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, it's unexpected. It's like Christmas in July. I mean, we already had that earlier in the month, but like the fact is, it said the average recovery for someone who deals with a right Achilles injury is only 6.9 months, where we've seen the left Achilles take players up to like, you know, DeMarcus Cousins, I think, was almost a year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we talk about KD too, super lean, super light, not high body fat percentage, you know, super obsessed with basketball. So I feel really positive after reading that.
Yeah, and already has the height advantage too for his game. So the fact that even if it affects him a little bit, if he has all that explosiveness still in his dominant foot, plus the height, I mean, Kevin Durant, what, 95% of what he was, if not 100? I mean, yeah, it feels really good after reading that post. I read that this morning, and I was like, oh, well, that's actually, like, really reassuring.
I think when we were on here, I said maybe, like, 20% chance we see KD next year. I would probably raise it up to, like, 40%, maybe even higher after reading that.
Oh, damn, Nick, raising the expectations.
Hot take marathon getting started. That's tomorrow on OTG. If you want to check that out, otgbasketball.com, hot take marathon. We did it in August. Super hot takes all year, you know, all month long. We're trying to drop one every single day. Hopefully we can. Any hot takes you want to get out there before the start of the marathon?
LeBron James should stay off the court during a live action game.
Oh God. Oh. I'll save that for Full Access Hoops because I know Jay has some thoughts on that. So I'm not going to dive into that. I do have one. It's not a super hot take, but a hot take is D'Angelo Russell will not be traded from the Warriors and have a good season with them.
I think that's a good take.
Everyone seems he's a lock to be traded, but I just don't like from them from a standpoint. Like he's young, he's good, and they don't have any young good players.
It makes more sense if anything to trade him in the offseason once you have Clay officially back. Why go through an entire year? Wait till Clay gets near healthy, trade D'Lo, then bring Clay back in, who won't be 100%, will probably be playing at like a hobbled level. Do you want to raise his minutes quickly anyways? Like if you're in a playoff position with D'Lo and Curry, keep those guys and have Clay kind of just work his way back in slowly if you want him to play the rest of this upcoming season. And then in the offseason, hopefully D'Lo's stock is way up. Then you trade him to get a piece to then, you know, complementary pair with Clay and Curry. Yeah, I would not trade D'Lo. I think it doesn't make any sense unless the Warriors are like not in a good spot in the playoff race. That would be the only way to me it makes sense.
And there's a really good package on the other end, or they think Clay's going to come back sooner and they already have a feel for him to kind of pop off.
Right.
All right. Any other hot takes or you got a question for me before we get out of here?
I don't know if I got, no, I don't got any hot takes. I'm dry at the moment.
You cooled off. It's been pretty hot. I mean,
it's been pretty hot.
It's like 90 degrees here in Connecticut today. I don't know what it is for you. It's like
I got bad sunburn on Sunday. I went to the beach, got like some sun poisoning, some sunburn. So it's been toasty. I feel like it's 95 degrees everywhere.
Take care of yourself, Corey. But that wraps it up for today. You can find the show iTunes, Block Talk Radio, TG Basketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube.
Peace out, knuckleheads.